Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the second part of episode one on getting started on the music industry. When we first start, Corey from Pure Energy will be asking Key from Chaos 101 some questions. Soon after that, Sean from Lost for Glory will join in and ask Key some more questions. And then we'll come back together and then finish up the rest of the show with our conversation. Also, if you want more information on all the guest co-hosts, please visit letstalkaboutthemusic.com. Okay. Here comes part two of episode one. Enjoy right after Papa Sat sings the brand new theme song. Hit it, guys!
Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the band. Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the sound. Let's talk about the music.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about the music.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about the music.
So, Keith, she was saying that you're just starting out in this stuff, huh?
Yeah. I've been playing for, over half my life. So,
okay.
I've been creating nonstop. And
what do you specialize in? Are you strings, vocals, percussion? What are you special or what do you think is your best?
Well, guitar. And, I started off as a drummer.
Okay.
And then, kind of navigated towards, guitar, writing and synthesizers.
Okay.
Piano. So yeah, that's kind of how
I'm seeing your PC equipment back there. So do you do a lot of just, what do I want to call it? Personal studio stuff or?
Yeah. Like currently I have like a setup that has a micro setup and, I use that for, as like a simplified way of creating beats. Bass lines and, loops. So I use a PC for other, for digital recording, which I'm trying to get going, but I have enough tracks, for like a record. But,
I get you.
Yeah.
No, I want to get to that point. I've only played with live musicians. And so I kind of want to get to that point of that. Yeah. You have to email me your deets and stuff like that. So I can kind of follow you on if you have a YouTube channel and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, it'd be like Chaos 101 is the name that I picked. I started off and, playing guitar and drums with my friend in high school, and we just did like freestyle sessions. And that's kind of how we just figured things out of what our limits and potential are. So, then invested in instruments throughout the years. Then I eventually got serious with my uncle. He taught me music theory, which really helped in my evolution as a guitarist. And
I think I've learned the music theory from other people that have properly learned it.
Yeah. The tips and stuff that people give in mathematics and stuff that root notes and so forth. So it's like, it does bring that way to, so you can play with others and communicate with others. If you're going to play with other groups and various people, which,
my go-to has always been is like, I've never been properly trained by a educational standpoint. I've just played with a lot of musicians. I did a lot of structure stuff in high school, whether it was ensemble, mixed quartet, duets, whatever, and so I'm more a vocalist is where I started from.
Okay.
And over the years, I've graduated into other pieces and stuff like that. But like I said, I've played alongside with, I haven't played with him in music wise, but I've played shows with Sean in Lust for Glory.
Mm,
and you start talking to him and you start to learn a lot. I mean, his experiences, how he plays, what he does when he creates. And it's like you start getting ideas in your brain. And it's, and I think this is why Shells is putting this show together, is so that, well, let's just go with the name so we can talk about the music.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and it's great for us artists. I will say that. Yeah. I really want to see this one, though, outreach to those that aren't artists, that want to just be involved in the music scene as they see it. That's what I really wish, and I hope that this show goes toward. And I really hope that those people speak out.
Yeah. Like my uncle, he's a musician, and he's been doing it for a living all his life. And so he lives in Arizona currently. So his way of doing things is like, so he does cover songs for jazz and blues.
Right on.
So it's a very, that's his thing. And so yeah, his group is called Soul Essential. But yeah, he's a right, very real good player, and it's real interesting seeing him play with seeing the jazz musicians kind of go at it with the crazy piano, like moving so fast I can't even believe. But yeah,
I like the fact that you just have so much respect for that person. I mean, because it's somebody that has shown you the way of what you kind of want to do.
Yeah.
See, this is the type of story that you're going to want to share on this show. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes our beginnings are, they can hit somebody at some point. I think I looked at it differently. It's like, I kind of want to hear what everybody else has to say. You know what I mean? So I can't wait for this episode to air once Shells has it all nailed down and puts it out there. I want to see what those comments are. I want to, maybe I'll be able to get in touch with some of these, the younger crowd that doesn't know where to look to find good music, or maybe they're going to tell us what to do to be better musicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're looking for something flashy, then we need to bring something flashy to the stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting because people have different kinds of requests and tastes. Like, I have
absolutely,
like my uncle, like, explain my music as he's like, yeah, your music is a bit eclectic and might not be understood by a lot of people. So I kind of understand where he's getting
at Shells.
With electronic stuff. But yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, she's nailing us up. I like that.
So, yeah.
So, are you playing, Keith?
Yeah. Doing shows? Not currently. I sent some emails out and trying to, get set up. But right now, yeah, I do have a good number of tracks on my looper set up that I could transform into, full-fledged songs. And I also got the pre-programmed sequences on my synth that could probably turn into other songs too, that line up. I could sync with the Korg analog drum machine. So,
well, yeah. You said that you got it like boiled down to a backpack. Yeah. It's probably, if you can do plug in a minute or so, it could be worth going hitting it with, because to me it's hard to visualize you going to open mics and doing it against your loop stuff, but that doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means I can't necessarily envision it. But if you're distilled down to a backpack or so, if you can get plugged in within under a minute and whatever, so that tracks are going through the guy's board and you just go along with it, you start at the open mics, go to open mics, and okay, maybe if you're getting a following, maybe you get some people who get into it and start following you, but more importantly, you're playing, right? Every time you could go on stage and play, is just worth five practices, 10 practices, right?
Yeah.
So Keith, have you guys ever heard of the guy called that guy, that one guy?
Oh no. Is it that one
guy? Yeah, he is one guy. He is one guy.
Okay.
One guy playing all these different instruments. He's like electronic, kind of a hippie kind of a thing. He's really, really amazing. That one guy. And I saw him at Fairy World a long time ago. Huh. And he's one, like I said, he's one band. I don't know if he loops his background music, but he has a pipe that he bangs on things and it makes music coming out of it. And it's very techno-ish. Huh. And it's amazing.
Wow.
So look out that one guy. And maybe somehow you guys will get some kind of inspiration from that guy as well, you know?
And that's all it is, just like this metal thing.
Yeah, he's metal. He has his own little box drum that he actually uses on his thing. And so, yeah, that's what he does. So that one guy, I was going to see him right before COVID hit, but it just didn't happen because COVID hit and he didn't reschedule. So, but he's really good. So that one guy.
Yeah.
Literally is that. That's this now whole thing, that one guy.
So that's I'm looking at YouTube things. So I think that might be it.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
That's neat. People that do the one man or just do a bunch of do multiple things at one time. Which is like the whole setup thing, trying to keep things simple. With performing and I have like the backpack set up. I also do have like a guitar pedal set up too that I have to kind of arrange, but that's not too complicated though. I do have my setup down to where like I can like tear down and set up things in like a speedy amount of time. So yeah, that's as simplified as I could like make things as I've been trying to do with things. But as far as performance, playing guitar is the only thing that like is, that you can see, but unless there were like a drummer that I could pair it up with.
It's weird. I mean, I know back in my day, get off my lawn, you kids today with your sequencing and stuff, but it doesn't mean I'm right, but it's hard for me to see somebody's solo performing, trying to like expressing a song without having a guitar or even a piano. Right.
Yeah.
I guess I would say guitar, cause that's from the 60s until now, that's like been the gist of it. But the reality is that there was a time before even me where people would say, how does somebody go and play a song without a piano? Right.
Right.
So these changes, I mean, it's new to us because we've never experienced the changes before, but the changes are not new, right? So before there was any recorded songs, the only way you heard a song was when somebody sat there and played it at you. And so when somebody was buying a hot new single, they were actually buying physical sheet music and they would put that on the piano and they would play their song. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Whatever the song was. And then that became the wax discs and the Edison stuff where we first started getting recordings. And then that eventually became the 72 records. And then it became magnetic tape happened during World War II. And then it migrates along that way. So it's like, oh, we're upset about CDs now. They're taking over albums. Oh, this is never... dude,
Napster! Albums. Napster!
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on Napster.
Oh, I remember Napster.
I love Napster.
Napster is why the industry has crashed and tanked.
Napster overthrew the governing rules of the record companies.
True. But
it did create chaos for the rest of us. Absolutely. But
what they did, okay, great. They blasted through and tamped down the gatekeepers. The problem with that is the model that they kicked the door through with was, oh, you don't need to pay. I mean, pay if you want, whatever, right? Okay, that's great. So don't get me wrong. There's nothing, the old industry model was every bit as rapacious as I might find Spotify right now, right?
Absolutely.
But they were inclined, in a lot of cases, the artist-friendly labels, like Herb Alpert of A&M was actually an artist, right?
Yep.
Ahmet Erdogan was a huge fan of things. So there were some of these labels that were really big fans, but then they're also like, well, we got to make some money too, right? So the reason that we have the Starlight Vocal Band is not because they wrote a great song, but it's because they had promotion and they had the label pushing the song so that it was everywhere. And everybody's like, well, it's everywhere. It must be a great song, right? So, okay, it's not the perfect environment, and you only have to, if you're Prince or somebody and you're in the game long enough, you can renegotiate. So you're getting a fair cut out of the records that you're making. Not the best model, but at least they were usually paying their artists better than being paid now. And that's no great shakes.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
But now you fast forward to Spotify now, and Spotify, because of Napster said, hey, we shouldn't really have to pay anything unless you kind of think you want to. And even then, don't worry about it. Right. And that's what gave us the model now. And what irritates me the most, hashtag cue the rant, is that I have to pay to get onto Spotify.
No, you don't.
You have to pay. Yeah. You got to pay an aggregator. Yeah.
To skip commercials, I think, or skip ads.
No, to get my music onto Spotify.
Okay,
you gotta pay
as a musician. Yeah, right. Gotcha.
And then to listen to Spotify, you have to pay to listen to Spotify, or you take the ad service or whatever. So either way, he's getting paid on that end, and he's getting paid on your end, and he's making the $1 billion profit or whatever his salary is. And Taylor Swift, for F's sake, is getting $1,100 for like 40 million streams. Okay. Right?
No, I got a question on this one. What is so big about Taylor Swift?
Yeah. What is that?
I've listened to her music and I've tried to, Thank you.
She's okay.
Here's my hot take that I don't understand, but if she brings the world along and now it's becoming the world. But when she first came out, I remember people going off about, oh my God, she's amazing. She writes her own songs. And I'm like,
who doesn't write those
to do, right?
Well, no, but
out of the Nashville model, you know, people write the songs and they try to go back to like the Tin Pan Alley days, where there's the songs and then they find the performers to do it.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah. You got NSYNC, Boyz II Men. I mean, they didn't write their own songs.
And that's a pet peeve of mine too. But when you come out and it's like everybody, when she came out, everybody was like, oh my God, their minds are blown. She writes her own songs. I'm like, well, good. That is like the bare minimum in my mind to being an artist. Because if you're not writing your own song, then maybe at best, if you're doing it well enough, maybe you're a performer, right?
Exactly.
Elvis never wrote his own songs. Sinatra never wrote his own songs, right? So those guys are not artists. Like, those guys are performers, right?
Like, yes.
It's like, you may as well just go on Broadway, right? You got the American Idol voice. You could go onto Broadway and you can sing the songs that somebody wrote for you in the context of a bigger thing, right? But you're not an artist, right?
Well, I don't need Mr. Cowell to tell me that I suck as a vocalist.
Well, no. And see, the reason he's telling you suck is because he says you're not going to make any money for him. He wants something to do with you, right?
Bing, 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 ding, 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 ding. Give Sean a medal right there.
Which, cue another rant, if we want to pull the
pin on that grenade. Oh, we got another rant.
If we want to pull the pin on that grenade. But when you see somebody, when you're scrolling on Facebook and you see somebody saying, you know, oh, don't play oversaturate your market. Don't play more than like, you know, once every 3 months bands, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That's what a promoter. Is that?
That's a promoter saying you're going to, you know, make my shows make less money if you play twice in the neighborhood. It kills me because it's horrible advice to give Absolutely. To anybody, let alone a young band. And also, whoever's saying that isn't
I'm not
saying
a young
it,
man.
Is it a young yeah. band?
Okay.
Band, young and they're band. Saying it to young bands. They're saying it to young bands. And they're also, in the height of the epitome of class, they're chastising bands on Facebook. Right?
They are.
Don't lecture are. Bands on Facebook, you damn idiot. You watch Sunny in Philadelphia? Idiots, yes. savages, idiots.
Yes.
Savages.
Thank you.
But anyway, so they go on about how, oh, don't oversaturate your market and blah, blah, blah. It's like, don't tell bands that. Yeah, you know what, bands? If you can play every night of the weekend, every weekend of the month, you do that.
Right.
And you might need to do it for a year. You might need to do it for 2 years. But you're not going to oversaturate anything because the six people, the less known you are, people aren't going to go across town to watch you play.
So Amen people, to that. Amen,
the six people
brother.
That saw you play at the checkerboard down here on Friday are not going to be the same eight people that went over to Cruisers to see you on Saturday, right?
Well, so, you also do go on the other side of the mountains, so there's a difference.
Are you learning
there.
Something, yeah. Keith? Here, are you learning something?
Yeah.
So start playing, and you'll get followers. Go to the next gig, you'll get more people. That's how Amen. You work and keep working. And so keep and, looking yeah. at it.
And you know what? Especially like in something as concentrated as Seattle,
Amen.
You can play Everett and then you can play Green Lake and you're not oversaturating nothing.
Nothing, there. Nothing.
In fact, you do that. Like you spend the rest of the year doing just those two things and then you will start to get recognized. And you're still it not is. Oversaturating anything. So anybody who's telling you don't play more than once a month in your own hometown, no, they're not telling you that to help you as a band or an artist. They're telling you that because they think their shows will sell better. And
right.
and the you know what? The your shows, and I can think of three promoters who go on to chastise lecture bands yeah. on Facebook. Uh-huh. I can think of three of them off the top of my head. It's like
don't
dude,
do it.
You know,
don't do it.
You know what?
I think I've played for all three of them.
It's not that the band played twice that month before your little, you know, 32 band Wednesday festival that nobody showed up to your Wednesday festival, dude. That's not what the problem was. The problem was maybe too many bands, maybe Wednesday, maybe, I mean, the list goes on. But yeah, so things like that irritate me a lot, clearly.
I get it. I get what you're saying, Sean. And believe it or not, you just brought up a lot of realism to me.
Real feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I've promoted myself just as an individual more so than I have any of the bands or products that I've been in.
Huh.
There's a reason people come to me as Corey.
You self-centered ass.
I stated it early.
Now, see, the thing is
I'm narcissistic, but
here's the thing. I don't have that gene and it is kicking me in the ass.
But you have like other genes.
You need no, to be able to push yourself like you're talking about.
You have other genes that I don't have that I'm trying to get.
This is a jab at the skinny jeans again, right? I know.
This is a scab at the skinny. Yes.
Keith, how do you promote yourself? How do you promote yourself to get out there?
Absolutely. Actually, that's a very good question since you're doing this very electronically.
And can you get me a show?
Oh yeah, I mean, I just kind of
actually
like
yes, I want to get a show with him too. Yeah. I'm with Lust for Glory on this one. Pure Energy will do a show with you.
Yeah, and we'll get 27 other bands, and we'll do it on a Wednesday. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I usually look for, I mean,
in the middle of January,
people that are looking for other shows. You know, they're looking for like other acts to fit the bill. So I kind of like will respond that way, and that's how I was able to get, the electronic set that I was able to do at the Jules Bay Saloon. So that was fun.
Jules is a good place to play.
And And then another was at I did the looper set at the Prohibition Bar. But usually, yeah, I just look for people that are looking for, you know, an act, and I just kind of respond through, you know, email or message. Yeah.
So basically, you promote yourself. Then you just look for people and you promote yourself.
Yeah, and I try like network with other musicians, like, you know, ask if they, you know, want to collab and stuff. But it's kind of if you're serious about it, you know. It's music.
Right.
Try to look real serious and ready.
The one timeless actual thing that helps push a band or an artist over the top is the same that it's always been, but it's the least recognized or acknowledged thing, which is you just need one super fan.
Oh.
And that just opens up so much of the world for you, whether it's like Ahmet Erdogan, who owns the record label, right? Whether it's what's a Landry guy who's the Bruce Springsteen's manager, or like,
have you found that super fan, Sean?
No, and that it's killing me.
Like, I've not found it either.
What's the secret word you got to use? What's the magic?
I think there's a knock. You have to
secret password.
There has to be a secret handshake or something. I don't know.
It's a little hand signal.
Yeah.
Your handshake. I don't know.
It's just as obvious as and simple as like dating or finding Mrs. Wright, right? Mr. Wright or whatever, right? I mean, it's that
Sean thing. Went there, didn't he? He just went there.
I can talk forever about, you know, hey, yeah, oh, all you need to do is this or that, or don't oversaturate your market, stuff like that. But the reality is like, you just, because what if you're doing this right, if you're doing this for the reasons that I'm doing it and the reasons that, you know, resonate the most with me, it's because you feel like you have to, and because what you're doing is a genuine expression of you, right? And so this is what kills me.
Pump the brakes here. Just really quick, Sean, is it because that's what you feel you have to, or is it because it's what you want to do, what your heart is telling you to do?
Well, that's the same thing, right? If the heart is telling you to do it, you feel like you have to, right? It's like my soul feels like I have to do this.
Okay. And I just wanted to clarify. I wanted to make sure that I was feeling the same thing that you were saying.
And a good way that illustrates it for me is like, I said, I had this artistic existential thing this year. It's like really accumulated up on me because I am submitting to like 32 festivals a year these days. Right. And you start in November, and then in, you know, February, you start hearing back from some of them.
Starting in November? Hold on. Yeah,
exactly.
I got to write this down.
Dude, I have so many.
I'm not even set up for next year.
Okay.
Continue.
And so things like Darrington, what it used to be, or Meltdown, whatever it's called now.
Yep. Rock on the Mountain or something like that?
Yes. I submit to all of these things. And there's like one. So like three of them just announced finally the lineup here locally. Right. And then there's a couple like Treefort in Idaho and Timber Fest and Pig Out in the Park here in Spokane that I've literally been submitting to for like 12 years. Right. Yep. And nothing. Like they just Damn. No one and so
any I have response this thing. At all? I
mean, huh?
We'll see any response back.
I mean, well, yeah, well, there'll be sometimes you'll get the unfortunately we didn't select you this time, but
Got that?
Please try.
I haven't gotten any of that.
I get those, not all the time, but which is like that's the icicle through the heart thing, because then you just like you're scrolling through Facebook and you see the poster for the thing and you're like, squinting at it, and it's like, you're not on it. And what kills me even more is that like, the two of the guys in my band have like three other bands, right? One of them is the main artistic guy from this band. One of them is the main artistic drive of this band. And like those guys are on Pig Out in the Park and they are on this other one and stuff like that. So that's a, you know, it kills me. And then like there was, I remember Shells was on, was seeing like one of those things. And I'm like, and I messaged on Facebook. I'm like, tell him to hire us, please. Because yeah, I've been submitting like so long and just like, and that people are passing. And what kills me is that, like we talked about before, I've determined that the band is really just me, right? So at this point now, only 97% of the songs are me, right? And my voice, my thing. And then I got out of the Army in 91, and then I went to the Art Institute of Seattle to learn how to record. So I've been recording all of the things myself also. So every part of this song, the album cover and the recording of it and writing the song and printing the tea, every bit of it is like me. And then after 12 years of like just all of the rejections and just like the festival thing, it's not even, there's 32 festivals or so that I'm trying to submit to, but like hundreds of just regular inquiries like, hey, can we come play Tony B's? Can we play Central? And all of those rejections at some point over the course of time, it just, they don't want me is how I'm landing.
That's right? And then, okay. That's how you feel. That is the reason why I stepped away from music for 14 years is because that's what it made me feel. Believe it or not, guys, you know, Sean, I understand where you're going from or where you're coming from, at what you're going for. Hey, yeah. There are two things I want to really say on this one. For one, this is a different music, local music scene. And I'm taking all of Washington, Oregon, and Idaho into this picture. It is different from what I experienced back in the 90s. Back in the 90s, it was cutthroat. There wasn't bands that like formed together. You didn't have camaraderie. You didn't have those types of things. Okay. Fast forward to today. Sean, you and I see things completely opposite. We really do. And which is fine because we still converse. We still talk. I rely on you from your experience. Because that's going to help me be a better musician. You know, it's going to help me because you're a self-promoter. You see what I'm saying? I can learn from you get what I'm saying? That the things today are different than they used to be.
It's a way different pool to swim in, for sure.
What you guys will actually are doing or know what you guys are doing is helping Keith and everybody else, the generations after you guys, how to do this. I mean, you actually went to college to learn how to do this editing and stuff like that. And photo. Most kids don't do that. They're like, oh, we'll go on stage, we'll make it big. That doesn't work that way. You have to like learn other things besides just be on stage and going after it, you know?
See, Sean, this is what I'm saying. We're able to connect with people like Shells, that is able to bring in Keith into this whole thing and say, you know what, this world of music, you want to say, let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the music. Yeah. Believe it or not, it's a shit show. We listen to what we hear on the radio. Okay. We see what all these local bands want to do. We see everything in between. Where is that little nugget of gold out there? And Sean, you alluded to this before, talking about of how the mechanism wants to do and promote things. The fact of the matter is, as a musician, I don't care who you are, what age you are, how you started, just go do it. If that's what your heart is telling you to go do, go do it. I've spent
hundreds and I don't want to say I spent thousands of dollars trying to get what me, Corey, wants out of music.
What you want to hear.
You know, has it benefited the bands that I've been in? Absolutely. Yeah, it has. Has it made me famous? No. Well, I'm famous enough because I'm a freaking, let's talk about the music. So there is that. You know, but what I'm saying is you don't stop going after your dreams. You don't stop doing this. The musicians now, even the promoters, even the venues, they are more catering and understanding of the musicians than they ever have been. Unless you're a complete, what's the word I can use here since we're being PG-13 shells? I want to say the big D word. What's the best word I could use?
Diligent.
Oh, yeah. So you have all these diligent people out there. These complete giant.
Good job.
There's these big giant diligents out there trying to thwart you from doing everything.
So much diligence.
I mean, I do. I love the fact that we were all musicians. We're trying to give out our creativity. All I'm going to say, don't ever stop following your heart. Don't stop following what you believe is what. Sean, I've known you for a long time. You've been doing this and trying to do this on your own for years. And you've got amazing stuff. I still have guitar picks of yours from when you've. Well, yeah, I've been at two of his shows where he does. I don't even know how you do this. I want to understand this magic trick that you do. He does this thing where in the middle of his song, he is able to walk around with his guitar. Okay. And he's playing the chords. He's got his fingers doing the thing, but he hands out his a Lust for Glory pick. Mm-hmm. And he hands it out to each individual and I swear to God, he goes to each and every person in the bartender and the cook in the back. He was in the kitchen and the kitchen guy, I don't even know, you know, he was even playing along, you know, he's got this performance.
Right. Yep, he does.
So it's there's a music, there's a performance, there's a story in the lyrics. There is everything is involved in all of this. And how do you get it out?
Right.
To wrap up my point, I was going to say that, you know, I'm just deflated and heartbroken about not getting these shows, especially after so long. And I understand there's no meritocracy to the music, but it's like, oh my God, it's like 12 years. And the thing is like, okay, well, am I done with the band? They've got other things to do. Do I just want to do things on video or whatever? And I'll think these things, and yet in the morning or the next day, there's something goes through my head, and it's like, oh, wait, that's a line for a song. Okay, I want to try and go home and work on that later.
The creativity comes back.
So it never left. And the one thing I can console myself with is like, well, by my own definition, I'm at least doing this for what I think are the right reasons, because I feel like I have to.
Amen. Right.
I mean, if I just said yesterday, the band, I can't find any shows. We're not gonna play more shows, whatever. And the next day I'm still like, oh, this is going to be a good song. Yeah. So I feel like I have to do that. I feel like I have to write these songs. Right.
Okay.
And ultimately it's like, I want to write stuff that you want to hear Right. And I don't get that a lot from the music that's on the radio.
Let me ask you a very personal question, Sean. Do you feel you have to, or do you feel you want to?
I'm compelled without necessarily a choice in the matter. Right. Like I said, I
understand.
I can tell myself, I can tell myself, you know what, this is done. I'm over it. I'm not going to do it. I just, it's pointless. Right?
And then you're not going to stop. And then the you're next, not going to.
The next day, like I said, ooh, wait, that's going to be a good line. Ooh, no, I can hear something under it. Yeah. So
do you know by like your enjoyment with it? Is that how you know it's a for sure like thing you're going to stick with? Just curious.
A particular song or good just music question. In general?
Or just music in general, yeah.
Very good question.
The best part of it for me is like when I've got a completed enough idea and you go and you present it to the world and there's a positive response to it, right?
Do you really have to have the positive response, or did you just feel that completion like right here in the center of your gut?
And I nail the performance and present it to, and like it's greatest with a new song too, but then I have to realize that some places where I go, all of my songs are new to them. So I try and keep that in my head too. Yep. But for me, like when I've got the new song off this, we're already playing like four songs off of this current album that's not out yet. We're playing those live. And when I nail one of the new songs and I'm like, man, I really like that song, or that song came out well, and it's responded to at all, but responded to well at the crowd. Like those are the moments. So I think the part that kills me about not getting, like the festivals, I think are exposure to a bigger audience. And that's where I feel like the band is going to, that should be the next step for the band. And then the heartbreak at not getting some of them repeatedly forever is like, oh, I'm getting, some gatekeeper does not enjoy all of what I do, but the playing live is the best thing. The thing that I enjoy the most.
There
I
you
enjoy
go.
Having this ding, completed.
Ding ding ding. Ding.
And nailed. And like, this is going to sound, this sounds great on the CD in the car, but then playing it live. And that's the part that breaks my heart about like, well, nobody wants to see me play live.
So we found what Sean's secret is. Sean's secret is he wants live. That's what he wants.
I just want to be live.
You want to be live. Well, we all want to be loved, man. We all have that. Sean, I mean, okay. Sean, so no. Keith, I got to ask.
Hang on, Corey.
Okay.
Keith. Now I did talk to Timber. And they said to keep submitting because they get a lot of people. They only have a handful of people that can actually do it. And I have not written a review yet. Well, I started on it, but got busy. So I'm still working on it. And I have them coming onto the show eventually so I could ask them questions, how to get people to be submitted to, to their festival. So okay, that's coming up as well. So Keith,
this is where we kind of work on this because we're like networking with a lot of good people here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So Shells and Sean, you're going to have to send us those details, like probably in an email, how to try to get into these festivals too.
If I can compile one, I don't even know what my clipboard looks like anymore.
Sean, what I was trying to tell him is that we have other people that you guys are in this business in a different way than we might be. All I'm saying is that we've got, okay, Keith, we've got two people that we're on live camera with right now.
Yeah.
That can help. Right. We have to just pick their brain.
Right. And anyone's watching this or listening to us, pick his brain. How do all your bands get into festivals?
Hell, I have no idea.
Bands? Right. So, I mean, that's...
This is the first time that I've actually been promoting the band. The other bands that I've been with, somebody else has done that. This is the first time I'm responsible for booking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just sending out emails. Oh, I'm supposed to have an electronic press pass. What the fuck is that? I don't know. Go look at my YouTube.
I'm Go doing look. Like a head count of like right. all the people I know. I'm like, you want to come? You want to come?
Thank you. Come. Keith like, understands and, like, this one.
And people yeah. I know, everyone I know, I'm like talking. I'd be like, would you come? Like, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a very good question, though. I've got a lot of friends that I yeah. sit there and ask to come out to my shows, and none of them show up. I mean, yeah, granted,
we're just all, like, what a few.
Well, you know what? I think, and this goes back to the people who are calling themselves promoters and who are just kind of local bookers, really. But the thing is that, you know what? My friends are irrelevant to making this work, right? So I've got, I'm pretty old. So I have like one, well, I've got like two friends from high school. And then three or four friends from the 90s, right? And I see my friend from high, one friend from high school like four times a year, right? So I'm horribly unsocialized right now. It's probably part of my problem. But I have my Sorry. One friend that down in Portland that like when we played the whiskey, he's like, oh, I'm gonna go down to the whiskey and watch the show, and him and his wife came down. It's like, and that's how you know you're loved, right? Yeah. But yes. for the most yeah. part, when it comes to booking something like here in town, or when it comes to the 30 band festival or something like that, and they're like, bring your friends. It's like, well, dude, I ain't got no friends. And also the friends that I have,
you don't want,
they know what I sound like. They know what the band is, right? So they're not going to come to see, they're not going to come to pay $6 for a PBR unless your festival is hot.
Yeah. Right? They've been at practice.
If you want to talk about oversaturating a market, my six friends, they are oversaturated. Hey. If you want them to come to the show, you better be the whiskey a go-go, right?
Yep.
You, the venue, the promoter, you need to step up your game, because my friends, my six friends or my 30 friends, you only get that a couple times. And then they're like, dude, they book you 1 o'clock on a Wednesday and the PBRs are $7. It's like, I'm not going to come back and do this again. Right. They're not coming because of me. And also, if you're relying on, you want everybody to bring everybody in that you can, I get that. Yes. But you have to have your own charisma yeah. as a promoter.
What is the promoter bringing in? So I'm agreeing with you here on this one. What is the promoter uh-huh. bringing in? What is the venue bringing in?
If it's real promoter and real venue, they're bringing it, right? If it's somebody who says they're a promoter on if it's somebody who says they're a promoter on Facebook, but they're really just a booker, those are the ones that have the communication issue where it's like, well, I'm not supposed to bring anything, but the bands are supposed to promote. It's like, no, it's right there in your name, promoter. That's
I've seen both, but I've experienced both. And that's why I have some of my, go ahead, Shells.
Well, I've been told by promoters that the band's got to promote and they can promote. Because I have worked with a few promoters myself, and they're always saying that, you know, the bands don't promote. Like, well, isn't that your job too? Like, you got to help promote each other. Like, okay. So that's where I get the idea of you have to help promote. Okay, cool. But
I've got a good story on this one.
Okay, go for it.
Actually, this was a recent one.
Oh.
So the first show. So, like I said, I've been in charge of evidently scheduling all the shows for Pure Energy. So I reached out to all these different places, and I had somebody reach back to me and said, hey, we're going to have you play at Lucky Liquor. Okay. Good old tequila staple for a venue, right? We've all played Lucky Liquor. It's a good place. We got these bands here. One of them's from Sacramento and Seaside Massacre. And I'm going to actually state them my name because Seaside Massacre is awesome. So we start going down this path and start, I connected on Facebook. I personally reached out to Seaside Massacre and say, Hey, we're promoted for the show here. Okay. And we're going to do this, this, and this. Okay. Let's try to get things together to promote all three bands that are playing. Well, 4 days later, I'm told by the promoter, you guys aren't hard enough to play with them. In other words, because Seaside Massacre, new metal band, right? We're more hard rock garage band. And so I kind of understood the pretense, you know, but I'm like, oh, this would have been a good show. We could open up for anybody, really. I could open up for freaking Metallica. It would not be a problem. It would just fit. But we went with it. But the cool thing about the promoter is he's like, nope, instead of doing it that night here at Lucky Liquor, we're going to put you over here and have you do that. And so we're like, okay. And so time goes on and Seaside reached out to me. It's like, hey, we're coming up there and I know you're not playing the show with us, but can you help promote us? And I'm like, yeah, of course I'm going to help. So on Facebook and stuff like that, I'm like, hey, yeah, this band's coming over here. They're going to be playing here. Of course, the same night, I'm going to be playing in Everett, you know, so I'd rather you see us instead of them. But hey, you South Enders, go out here to Lucky Liquor. North Enders, come up and see us. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of schmoozing the whole social media thing, right?
Right.
Go where you want. So the first night we go out, which is we're playing in Everett at Tony V's garage. Awesome place, by the way. And if you haven't seen his lights yet, Tony V's got some good lights now.
I mean, I really want to go to Tony V's. I have not been up there yet. I really want to go up there, but it's in Everett and I don't have a car right now.
I know. Shells, I'll show you some videos and some pictures and stuff like that. You're going to be amazed at what Tony V has done up there. Cool. But anyways, so we've played.
If we ever get booked back there, just like I'll ping you and you can jump in on our way up there.
Perfect.
And we'll all do the show.
Well, you know, and as Sean, I'm sorry that we weren't able to come over here or come over there this Friday. Was it Friday?
It's supposed to be it's supposed to be this coming Friday, but they dropped it because they couldn't even find a local band, right? Because I was going to like, okay, I'll try and find a band. They'll find a local band. We'll have three bands. It'll be great. They couldn't find it, but they gave me a handful of other dates in October and November to pick from. So,
Okay. Hmm. Well, keep us informed because I will talk to the guys. I'm willing to do it. I don't know about the other guys. But anyways, so to continue my story, so we're set up to open up the first night of a 2-day festival at Tony B's, right? A hybrid festival.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we get in there and all of us guys, we were told that the back door opens up at 5, right? To load in our gear. Well, no, it's not until 5:30, 6 o'clock before we get. So we're all sitting down at the bar. You know, and we're like, oh, hey, yeah, we got to wait and stuff like that. And then the promoter comes in. And of course, talking about the things that happen in the promoting business. Oh, I had a band drop out tonight. I had three bands drop out tomorrow night. Blah, 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 blah. Right. Uh-huh. And I'm like, you know what? I just saw an opportunity right there. So, Keith, this is where you need to kind of pay attention. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm like, hey, so you said you had three bands drop out tomorrow? I know we're playing tonight. Not a problem. We're ready to go. Do you need somebody to play tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here.
Do you think you guys can? I'm like, hey, let me talk to the guys. What time frame are you thinking? Are we playing like second, third, fourth? Oh, no. You'd be opening again. Okay. Well, let me talk to the guys. Got to remember, this is Friday night, the night we were playing, only our second show. So we get the next night, be our third show, am I going to really quibble about what placement we have?
No.
No, we're just starting out. So I'm like, oh, no, but you got to play aloof a little bit, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay, let me talk to the guys. Let me see what they say. So I come to my girl. You know what? Yeah, we could do tomorrow night. When do you want us to play? Do you guys mind opening? Let me text. I didn't text a thing. I just did this. Right?
Oh, it looks like no.
Yeah, no, because all the guys were like, yeah, we're in.
Okay.
You know, we just don't, actually, because we're all a little bit on the older side. They're like, I don't want it to be a late night. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, we'll open up again for you. That's cool. So we got to play two nights.
Good.
You know, but the funny thing is that we got to sit around and chat with Tony V, who does the lights for Tony V's, which is, so anybody that's watching this one, if you go play at Tony V's, talk to Tony and just get good with Tony. He's going to make the lights and the stage look amazing for you. I will say that. And the sound system there is cool.
It's always a good show. We've been there.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Actually, I want to say the best time that I played with you, Sean, was what is the place in? Wasn't Chehalis?
Yeah.
Was Chehalis.
McFeiler's. Yeah.
McFeiler's.
Yeah.
So not only do they have a good sound system, that whole layout of their bar is amazing.
That just seems like the weirdest place when you show up and it's still like,
it is.
Everybody's having, the regulars are still there and they're ordering the whatever the steak special is. And you're like, dude, it's going to suck. What? No. But then like around 8 o'clock, it just turns weird. And it's like, you're thrown across the short end of the room. It's like, none of this makes sense. But then when it's go time, right? It's all like works. It's like, whoa.
Well, so what was funny is I've never been invited back there before.
The last time I saw you guys play was actually at the Y Sports Girl before it shuts down.
Which one? Who? Lust for Glory or 21 Day Coma?
21 Day Coma. Yeah. Actually, both of you guys, because Lust for Glory was out there playing at the some biker thing that we did.
Yeah.
They came out there and you and 21 Coma came out there a bunch of different times to play out.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. That was so, drummer dudes in Rock yeah. Mama's place. Yeah.
Right.
So and that we was, were there with Tim and Tremor Cats. Right.
So the question is, go back to Keith. Now, Keith plays a completely different kind of genre. So how can he actually get into his genre to play music, or does he have to open up for guys like you to get out there?
Oh,
I think he has a world of different options that maybe we don't have access to.
Thank you, Sean. Yep.
And there's some places, like if it was still around the Y, that maybe he's not going to get a lot of opportunities at, or like Lucky Liquor maybe. Right. So like he might not get like a lot of hey, yeah, sure, yeah, come down and play this from Lucky Liquor, but I can't even think of a place. But
I just had a thought.
Other places where they'd be like, yeah, let's get that guy, let's get Keith in here. This is not a Lust for Glory kind of environment, but you will definitely take Keith, yeah, for sure, kind of thing. So
I know one of the things that when I was with 21 Day Coma, we actually grabbed Tim from Tremor Cats.
Right.
Had him play harmonica in one of our songs.
Yeah.
And it was that. Well, yeah, not only did he love it, the crowd loved it.
Yes.
So I think that, honestly, as musicians, we should all be thinking about this thing, the collaboration piece.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. Keith, I'm sorry, I don't know you very well. I just met you tonight. Don't know your music. I have to listen to Chaos 101 to find out what you do, right? But what if there is something? What if there is a sound or a lyric or a guitar riff, a bass riff, a drum crescendo, whatever that is, What if it's something that just kind of reaches out to me and I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to call you up and say, hey, I'm going to send you this little file over here. Listen to it. Tell me what you think you could do with it or how you can enhance it, you know, or maybe I might think, you know what? You would sound good with, that might sound good with like Filthy Traitors. Or, you know what? Go with this rap artist, Yak Nilla. You know what I'm saying? We all know people. Mm-hmm. We all, this is something that is so different from back in the 90s when I first started music. And I love this music community for this. And Shells, you've been a part of this. Musicians Hangout has been a part of this. Is that they know that the local music scene is different now.
Yes, it is.
Musicians are looking out for each other. We are helping each other. We are trying to, are we trying to succeed? I mean, do I want to be better than you, Keith? Abso-fucking-lutely. Okay? Absolutely. No question. Sean, yes, you too. I want to be better than you. But at the same time, I'm not going to stop by... of not working with each of you to try to benefit myself.
Well, I think you can benefit yourself, but also it's not going to be at the expense of me, right? I mean,
no, not at the expense.
There's nobody that's going to like, they're going to say, I'm going to listen to Pure Energy, but I'm not going to listen to Keith. I'm not going to listen to Lesser Glory.
No, right? It's the help of all.
There's no zero sum about what we're doing, right?
Zero sum. I like that.
So it's right. Like just because you're killing it, and this is again to circle back to my despair. This is part of what like kills me about, oh no, we're not on Pig Out in the Park, or we're not on Meltdown Fest this year, or we're not on Shreveport. It's like, it's not like if there's a band called Itchy Kitty who's been on it like 4 years, like Treefort, they've been down in Boise. They've been on it like 4 years, 5 years in a row now. And the reason that they're on it is because they have a little half-assed label. And that's their super fan who goes out and advocates for them and gets them on stuff, right? So they have the person that knows somebody that gets them on there. Are they a better band than me? No, they're great. I like a lot of their stuff. Are they better? Better gets so subjective. Are they empirically different? Is it like Keith versus Lust for Glory? No. I mean, they are two girls and two guys. Lust for Glory is one girl and three guys. They're more of a straight derivative punk edge thing. No, they're not better. I mean, to be honest with you, the couple times that we've played with them, it all makes sonic sense to be like on the bill with them. But
a sonic sense. I love that phrase.
They can be
Shells, write that one down. Sonic sense. That's going to be either a band name,
Boise, 5 years in a row. And yet Lust for Glory can still also play, right? It's not like we're taking their spots. So there's no zero sum to this, right? And so when it's this year now and rejected by all the festivals again kind of thing, it's like, I'm not like, oh, this band made it on there. I'm not like mad at that band. I'm like, oh, right. But I'm like, and there's no clear actual meritocracy about this. Like, oh, I've put in all the hard work. I've done my 10,000 hours of it.
Right.
There's no, That doesn't equate into it, but it's just like, oh my God. I mean, how come? Why not? Why exactly? Why not?
Why not?
After all this time, why not? I mean,
perfect question.
11 albums on Bandcamp and not one of those songs you kind of like, that's like, oh yeah, let's get these guys on.
Okay.
Here, right.
It's
like,
okay, perfect. Perfect segue, Sean. Perfect segue. Because now we're going to go down to Sean. As you hear all this, what is your why not?
Me or Keith?
Keith.
Oh, Keith. My why not?
Why not has this happened for you yet?
Oh, Yeah, it's I don't know.
I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
I got the material. I've been practicing. I feel like I've honed down my talents and everything, and have the material. But I think it's more like, people like want either like more than one person. They don't want like a whole group, or it's either like, yeah, just gotta network with share a bill with other bands, or why has it not? I mean, it's guess it's a matter of I haven't played enough, or I mean, okay, I guess another thing is performing something that people that sounds fresh, that sounds familiar though, but is still fresh in a sense that people can connect with, because there's some distant familiarity with it, but it's still like something that's like edgy or kind of like that's but
familiar and still tight. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's kind of something I haven't.
So like
down.
What? Golden Girls? Is that familiar and still interesting?
No. I guess kind of like how like bands like Animal Collective, how they kind of have that kind of like psychedelic sense of vibe thing, and then they have like the poppy kind of music rocks. With the rock.
There's one setup, thing, though.
So that kind of thing, I guess.
There's one thing in Keith's day that not everyone has done. I've been promoting bands who cannot afford web pages, Linktree.
Linktree.
If you can't afford it, look at Linktree. You'll see what it is. Anyway, he set up his Linktree. He listened to me and is like, finally someone listened to me.
Go shells.
Like, yeah. I mean, I set up Allie's Linktree. I set up Kevin Inlow's Linktree. They have not did anything with that. I will set it up for you, but you have to acknowledge that it's there. They haven't done anything.
Is it a website or is it like, I've always seen it as like, and I've seen people use it and I've kind of got the sense of what it is, but it's like, is that just like an EPK or is it like a website?
Yeah,
it's like,
it's kind of
like you can put all your stuff on one page.
Fuck, I just need an EPK is all I need. Yeah.
All you need is a Linktree. It's free to sign up. There is a paid one, but there is a free one. You put all your links. You're like, for Keith, he put his Bandcamp on there. He put his Facebook on there, SoundCloud, whatever
Spotify,
he had.
Yeah.
Spotify, everything he has.
Holy crap.
For his career on one page. I have it for Let's Talk About the Music, Okay. And when I start putting it onto podcasts and YouTube and all that, I'll add to it. But is an easier way for people to find all your guys's information is on a Linktree. So get on Linktree. They're not sponsors here, but they should be. But
yeah, I don't know any alternatives, generators like that. Linktree, that's the only one I know.
Yeah. So far he is the only one of all of everybody who I said get a Linktree. He's the only one that's done it.
You never told me to get a Linktree. You're yelling at me, Shells. I don't know what to do right now.
I don't mean to yell at you. I was all excited because he listened to me.
No, all I'm going to say is that now I'm very curious about Keith or Chaos 101. I need to find out what stuff he's doing. Because something tells me there's some good stuff. Shells, you wouldn't bring anybody into this that doesn't have good stuff, right?
His electronic music is so, oh my God, I love electronic music. I have my best friend listen to his electronic, and she's just like, that's awesome. You are amazing electronic. I mean, keep at your electronic, because there is an audience out there, and I'll search around for you. on how I can get you more gigs as your electronic. But yeah, you're a very, very good electronic. I love techno. I came into the world when I came into the world. I started getting into the electronics and back in.
Thanks. Yeah, like all the stuff I do is like on the fly, so it is kind of like a free form kind of freestyle version. Okay. like it's not a pre-recorded stuff. Like I hit play and then I have like 16 or 32 different elements of drum tracks or synths like that are all synced together, and I just kind of like mute which one I want to have going, and it kind of turns into like a real cool like 20-minute composition or like song or something. So
nice.
I mean, I had so much fun making those records.
I have a question for you, Chaos.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm not big in the techno world. I mean, yeah. I'm savvy enough. I need you to rate on 1 to 10 Lords of Acid.
Oh wow, that's an old school.
I
love it. Yeah. Wow, that's rate on
1 to 10.
Since I heard them.
Just rate on them. That's all I'm asking.
Oh yeah, I mean they're great, man. So I mean I put them like way up there. So you know,
on 1 to 10.
Since it's been so long since I heard them, and I remember the name, and I remember distinctly like listening to like their stuff.
What's your favorite album cool. of them?
Because I mean they're kind of like Skinny Puppy, right? And
they are not Skinny Puppy.
Or like well, no,
there, there's ah there it's
Pitch Shifter.
Yeah.
Or KMFDM. I don't know. You know
KMFDM. So, okay, gotcha. Okay. Yep, yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna follow you now.
So it's kind of that's kind of
you can shut up now. You don't have, you sold me. I'm following Chaos 101 is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. So yeah, the electronic stuff. Yeah, it's like the inspiration, I guess, would have been like Aphex Twin or Autechre, because they did like stuff that was Aphex just really
Twins. I forgot about really, them. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, because they did stuff that wasn't like really danceable too. It just made you like pause and go like, "Oh, what was that? What was this high squeaks doing?" Anyway, that's kind of like how
it was, but it wasn't.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was just kind of something to listen, like sit down.
Oh,
and just
I'm sorry. And are we boring you, Sean?
Yeah. So what makes you go what got you to go into electronic and not maybe into a rock band like these two?
Good question.
I did some stuff with like Acid Loops, which is it like back in like the 2000s, like you just had these loop libraries that you would put stuff together and copy and paste. And after that, like after COVID, I invested in Native Instruments Machine and realized that, oh, well, software's evolved in the past 20 years. So it's there's a lot more tools available to create the sounds that I want to, or like push boundaries and create some really more wicked sounds. So that was real cool to have the virtual synth engines and tweak all the parameters and everything. So yeah, and I spent a lot of time, basically after work I would work on a track, and throughout the week I'd like review it in the car, make sure the bass was like, you know, correct. But yeah, that's a that's a creation process.
Here's a question. What did you hear that made you, that kind of to play off of her question, what did you hear that made you say, oh, that's what I want to do?
Oh, like just like start creating electronic music. I guess like Tucker, but like the thing is like I heard something and it just sounded original. So I guess like out of like just like living through life, listening to music and other bands, imagination just like is just one of the things. So like with electronic music, whenever I heard this stuff, I was like, I would hear electronic music by my, like, just think it up just by hearing stuff. So I hear my own like synth lines and stuff like that, and like wicked beats and stuff. And
okay.
I try and mimic that.
Yeah. I think what Sean was trying to say is, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean. I think with most of us that deal with a lot of rock music stuff or that kind of realm, we have a song or an artist or something that connects us to that. Is that what you're trying to ask, Sean?
Yeah.
What did you hear on the radio or wherever?
Okay.
Something that could draw us rock members into your electric music.
So what did you hear that somebody was doing that you're like, oh wait, what's that? Oh, I want to do that.
Right. That's kind of why I brought up Lords of Acid earlier, is because I knew that would be something to.
Or if it's Lord Acid, it would be like what's her name? Crystal Method.
Yes.
Okay.
The Godfather.
Yeah.
L7 would be my. Yeah. But anyways, never mind. Go ahead. Continue on, Keith. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got an example. Yeah.
Okay.
It's let's see, Square Pusher has an album called Go Plastic, and he released that in like I think around the 2000s, and it's such a crazy record. It is apparently, according to him, like 5 years. I read in an interview, he said it was like such a pain in the ass to make that he would never want to make a record like that again because it's so hard. But like it stands the test of time, because like I still go back to that record. Go Plastic. It is. I think it is what it is. Or Don't Go Plastic. Or Go Plastic. It's the most recent. And another track would be Aphex Twin's Window Licker.
Aphex.
Yep. Yeah. Window Licker. The single, and that crazy song Formula. the Wicked Formula song. Yep. I remember listening to
that. I know that one.
And that was kind of like a catalyst that gave me like the imagination just to dream up stuff. And I did the best I can with the software I had with the native instruments, synths and stuff.
So I think the only way that I can relate to you on this one, Keith, is so yes, I do like my techno, like I said. I know my wonderful Lords of Acid, because they had some amazing songs.
Oh yeah. Yes, they did. Oh
yeah. My favorite, and I actually have a nice frame poster of this guy. He's been my idol, my music idol forever. Trent Reznor.
Yes, oh man, yes. Nine Inch Nails. I forgot to mention that they are a big inspiration for me playing drums and starting out. Me and my buddy, we're big fans.
Okay, no. Here's a good thing though.
And
what point in time, what album, when you liked playing drums, what album did you like playing drums to? Because there's a difference.
Oh yeah. Man,
you like Pretty Hate Machine, didn't you?
Downward Spiral.
The
Downward Spiral.
Oh that god, that drum! I can't remember his name. I don't remember the drummer. No, he was good.
The drummer on the record.
Yeah.
Man, I can't believe I know.
I know, right? I can't remember it either.
Charlie Clouser, I know. Because he did like a solo.
He did a couple solos project. And that stuff. Yep.
I mean that, and then The Fragile was a good record that had some.
The nice Fragile drums. Was. I think musically, lyrically, all the way around, The Fragile was probably one of the best. I mean, my favorite album, of course, is always going to be Wish, because that was It was the biggest fuck you record I've ever heard.
But, or was it Broken? You mean Broken?
Oh, Broken. I'm sorry. Broken. Yeah, that Wish was on.
Yeah.
No, but The Fragile had, that's where he started to change and had a little hope in his songs.
Oh, yeah.
Not much, because there was still a lot of hatred in that song.
Yeah.
Or in that album. Oh. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The drummer off of Nine Inch Nails, Down with a Sparrow, was, his name was Chris Viner.
Chris Viner. Oh,
yeah.
Viner.
Yeah.
Yes.
14.
Yeah. Yep.
And also drums on Burn, Programming, Sound Design, and Additional Engineering. And then Andy, I cannot pronounce the last name, played drums on track 13. And Stephen Perkins played drum on track 8.
That's right. Perkins played on that. That's right.
Yeah,
we'll see. That's the weird thing is, like, we all know Trent Reznor is a big asshole. He's just a narcissist. He's a musician.
But he's a brilliant.
He's made some great music, and he's gotten the people around him. I mean, I've seen some bootleg stuff of his that is beyond my comprehension. And as a musician, he's my biggest idol. Always has been. He's able to write music to sound the way that it should. He's been able to write lyrics that match the sound. He's able to put on a live performance that matches both.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But every show has been top notch. And even the soundtracks that he does with Atticus Ross has been amazing. I've been following all the soundtracks he's done for movies like Empire of Light or...
Natural Born Killers. Yeah. What is the other one? Lost Highway. That's how he was able to get Marilyn Manson doing his stuff. I mean, see, Sean, this is the type of stuff that you and I are talking about all the time. It's like, these are the types of things that we're trying to aspire for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily. Oh, I love your kitty. What is your kitty's name?
This is Lily Cat.
Hey, Lily Cat.
Hey, Lily. Lily Cat. Lily Cat's curious.
To go back to your techno music, is that I got a chance to actually interview Crystal Method.
Cool.
And
really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I have the files somewhere, but I got to talk to Kirkland, and he is very, very ADHD. Did not know he was ADHD.
Yep.
The only way he could actually do his stuff is that he's all over the board. And I watched him. I was really close to the stage, and I watched him, and he is just everywhere, just doing his thing. And when he's working with his partner, a long time ago, he had to, like, take breaks. He starts out the first half of it, and then he finishes it. So now his partner actually retired, and he's doing the whole set by himself. So he's up there just doing his thing and playing all those knobs and just going at it. And just like, I watched him do all his stuff, and he's so focused. And the only way his ADHD can actually do his thing. So he's so focused on everything. It's crazy, but it's amazing. So each of your guys' your projects, how we can find you guys, and over there. So, Keith, how can we find you?
Okay, so I'm Chaos101. You can find me on Instagram, on YouTube, Spotify, Facebook. Just search up Chaos.
Just search up Chaos. Okay.
Chaos 101.
Hold on.
101.
Let's just try this right now. So hold on. I don't know how to spell so quickly after I had some beers. So Chaos 101 search. And I think okay, so I'm following you now. Are you following me now?
Let's see.
Did you see a Corey Wold come up?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, you did. Right. See, now this works. Now we see how this works. Okay, Sean, you go. Right. What's up?
So there's a Facebook, there's a YouTube. We got a lot of stuff on YouTube. We got stuff all over Bandcamp. There's a couple Instagrams, apparently, because I can't delineate personal from from band, so they're both the band. probably a little dull, but lots of cool pictures of gear. There's a TikTok, but my daughter won't put anything on it for me. So it's kind of a little, it's slow to get off of the ground. And what I will say is that there are no shows coming up. So I don't even need to not mention them because there aren't any that I know of yet.
Doesn't matter. Go listen to Lust for Glory. Go listen. But,
Here's the thing that we're going to start doing is we're going to start just in practices. I have plenty of cameras. I got a couple Blackmagic switchers. We're just going to start recording the practices. I'm going to be putting, there's so many songs. I just want people to have heard the songs, right? That's my goal in doing this. So we're going to just start putting videos. Like tomorrow, we're going to shoot a couple, we're going to practice some stuff, shoot a couple of things, and hopefully then we just start getting a video of this song up on the Facebook or on the YouTube, and then this song, and then this song, and then 10 songs per album times 11 albums or whatever it is. Hope at some point we just get all of them up there like that, and who knows, maybe even we'll start live streaming at some point or another, just occasionally a once a month live stream concert from our practice space or whatever. I don't know. Just stuff like that. And, cool. And a new album called Clockwork Man coming out as soon as I finish that damn last song.
A Clockwork Man. Is that correct?
Clockwork Man. Yep.
A Clockwork Man.
Yeah. It, here, I can show you the album cover because it's been, what I do is like, oh, hey, that's going to be a cool album cover. And I'll just put it on my phone wallpaper. And it's on there years.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, cool.
I have seen the album.
Until I finish it out. Yeah, that's on the website too, I think.
No wonder I've seen that. I know that picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
I've been trying to get this damn thing done for years now. So
I've been trying to get a lot of damn things done for years.
Usually I can do an album in like a year or, you know, under a year and a half. It's for some reason, this one's been dragging on me. I don't know why.
I don't know why, but Shell's been able to get this Let's Talk About the Music up and going. So I'm going to give her credit for a lot of that.
It took me 6 years to get it going. It took 6 years, but yeah, I'm here.
You got it.
Yeah, I really like how you set this up.
It's all about nice. What you want. Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
before I plug me and more information on this Let's Talk About the Music, Corey, plug yourself.
Plug myself? Okay.
Sounds so dirty.
I know, right?
Not that kind of plugging.
Hey, wait a minute.
Will be on the OnlyFans.
No, if you want to know where my music journey has sent me, just look up Corey Wold on YouTube. That'll show you the plethora of that. What I would plug is Pure Energy. That's the band I'm currently in. We have our YouTube page, Facebook page, stuff like that. As like I said, Corey Wold, you'll have my Facebook page, stuff like that. I'm really about just wanting, I want music to be heard.
Right.
I mean, Keith, I haven't listened to any of your stuff yet. I am now very interested in listening to your stuff, and I'm going to be listening to Chaos. I'm going to figure some of this stuff out so I can hear what you got.
Thanks. I want to hear your stuff too. So
Go look it up.
I know I have it written down. I'm going to listen to it.
You got to do the work. Like I got to do the work to listen to your stuff.
Press the button, you lazy bastard.
I'll find you. I'll find you both.
So it is. Go ahead, Shells.
No, go ahead. Okay. So
I was Sean has some stuff that I've got to hear now because he's mentioned a couple things that I don't know about. So I gotta start paying attention.
Oh yeah.
See, I gotta do my homework too. All right, Shells, plug yourself. What you got?
Alrighty, so basically the show has been gone for 6 years because I decided to take care of my mental health. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I went up to college at Green River College. I have been going there for the past 6 years and I'm on my last two classes as of next quarter.
Yay!
I'll be graduating with my AA degree, so I now have everything. And
Wait, no, AA degree. Is that the same thing as my AAA degree?
Possibly. So AA it's just, business management.
It's degree. Just less towing.
I've got a token.
So, yeah.
Bad joke. So,
very bad.
Okay.
So, now everything in line, I'm able to ready to go. And so everything is like connected. And so here we are doing the first episode. So thank you guys for being my first one. And you guys go to letstalkaboutthemusic.com. I'll be doing a blog on this podcast. An episode looking everybody onto the show. You guys gonna be able to find their information quicker than trying to listen to what they said. and so yeah. So I also gotta do a review on Chaos's information now that I know who he is and I can do more stuff with him. And so yeah, so go to listen with music.
Wait a minute. Let's back that truck up. Until you can do some more stuff with them. What are you trying to say, Shells?
I'm trying to do a
saying to
talk
the
about
fans.
The music. I love this place. Yeah, you guys are awesome.
I'm trying to do a review on this on Keith for a while, so now I have more information on the guy. I can now do it.
There you go. Guys have been awesome. Thank you so much, Shells, for everything you've done. Sean, always awesome to talk to you. Keith, it was great to meet you.
Yeah, and
I can't wait to Corey, get Sean. In touch with you.
Yeah. Corey, Sean, Shells, nice to meet you too. First time and interesting stories and background. I am really inspired by this. So, hope to hear your music.
So, one last question, Keith. Yeah. What have you learned on this episode by listening to these guys? What have you learned?
Not to listen to Shells.
Keep on
asking me. Okay, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, keep on playing more shows and keep on, no matter what, keep on doing more open mics.
Make even the if stuff that you want to hear.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Make whatever, self-expression stuff I enjoy making. Do that.
That's why I listen to Sean a lot of the time when we ever talk. It's like I always get insight from him. We might not agree, but I get insight from him.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for guys being my first episode, being my first in 6 years. So
we were your first in six. So you had a four way in 6 years as your first. Yeah. Good job, Shells.
Right. Had to make up.
Wow.
The time.
Okay.
Actually, that has to have a good golf clap on that one.
Wait, we're in the first video though.
Yeah.
Chaos. Don't worry about it. Just roll. Just roll.
It's great.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Okay. Talk out.
Bye.
Have a good night. Bye.
Thanks for listening to or watching the latest episode of Let's Talk About the Music. A big shout out to our incredible guest co-hosts to make this show incredible. I hope you learned something new because I know I do. For more details about this episode and every single episode we put out, visit letstalkaboutthemusic.com. If you have a great topic you'd like to discuss or you want to be a guest co-host, please reach out to me at letstalkaboutthemusic@gmail.com. If you also enjoy the vibe, don't forget to subscribe on our YouTube channel and make us your go-to podcast. Don't forget now, sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop with the latest updates. And big huge thank you for Ripple for the intro credit and Papa Sad for the fantastic new theme song. And a super heartfelt thanks to 89.9 The Current, also known as KGRG at Green River College, for their support. Until next time, let's talk about the music because music is everywhere.